Best in Class is here with the NFC East draft review. Everything you need to know about what every team in the NFC East did in the NFL draft, courtesy of Joe Buck's fan draft guru, Sean Sullivan. And you can find him at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, BillCurryFord.com. Check out the other divisions that Sean has done so far. You can find those at Apple Podcasts, JoeBucksFan.com. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. Today is the NFC East breakdown of draft picks. Very excited about it. You got some really great teams in here. Obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles, basically a Super Bowl team, and then Washington Redskins, who went to the second round of the playoffs last year, followed by the Giants and the Cowboys. Cowboys looking to rebound, Giants looking to do whatever the Giants do. And we'll go through all of the draft picks. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor, and that is Bill Curry Ford, third-generation family-owned business serving the Tampa community for over 65 years. We are very excited to announce that factory pricing is amazing in June. It ends in July. So right now is the time. If you want to buy a car at factory pricing, $5,000 below cost, 90 days deferred payment. That's right, three months without a payment. We'll pay off your car, your current vehicle. We'll make that payoff so you won't owe a payment there. You'll have three more months of saving money over the summer. We call it the summer vacation. You basically don't pay for a vehicle, and you can enjoy your summer with your kids and then go on some trips. Use that money wisely. Your trade right now is worth more than it ever has been. With the way the vehicles are coming in, we're getting so many vehicles that are worth the Highland mileage. So what I need right now from the Tampa community is those 2 or 3 year old cars with good miles that have been well maintained. We're going to give you up to 125% of Kelley Blue Book for those types of vehicles. We'll get you into a new vehicle at a similar or less payment right now. Interest rates are now falling. We have interest rates as low as 0% now, 1.9 even on 25s. So the interest rates are there. We have the discounts there. This is the time to buy. Also, visit us at BillCurryFord.com. Look at all of the amazing specials, but also book your free mobile service and pick up and delivery for your vehicle. You can service from your home or from your business. We have those things going on right now. Again, lots of things going on. The largest service department in the country, 67 cars deep. We have a Ford Pro Elite about to start construction on. It'll be opening in November to service all of the major fleet vehicles. So not only will we keep first responders on the road like we did during COVID, we were there for the Tampa community, we're also going to be keeping the grocery trucks on the road. So very exciting part of a family-owned store where we're branching out into new territory, and we're going to be working on semis and Sterlings and big diesels, and we're going to keep the heavy-duty trucks on the road. Very excited about that. Thank you for all of the reviews that I got on my last podcast. I appreciate all of the feedback. You can visit me at send me a messages on anything you want at bestinclass@BillCurryFord.com. If you have any questions, comments, you want to talk about players, you want to talk about rookies, you want to talk about fantasy football, just send it to me. I won't talk about fantasy on my podcast, but I will answer your questions on a rookie league for sure. Also, very exciting stuff is the reviews I'm getting on Apple. Very proud of those reviews. They're still coming in, and I appreciate, again, all the feedback, positive and negative. Listen, if you have something negative, say, don't worry about it. I love it. So just send it to me. I just want to communicate. I want to talk to you about football. Come into the dealership. You can sit down and talk to me about football at the dealership. It's not a problem. All right. Let's break down into the NFC East. I have a lot of friends that are Dallas Cowboy fans. I don't hold that against them. I still call them friends. But here we go. So round one, Tyler Booker, basically a guard out of Alabama. With Zach Martin's retirement, it left a big hole on that interior offensive line. So at number 12, Dallas just said, okay, we get it. We're just going to pick one of the biggest guards we can pick in Tyler Booker. He's going to fit right in Zach Martin's spot. So they fixed that position. So very good pick in round one. Round two, they picked Donovan Azirike Ruku, Boston College edge, a guy that was linked to the Bucks repeatedly at 19. He actually fell to pick 44 in the second round. I'm assuming it's because of his run-stopping ability and his lack of physicality when he's engaging in blocks. But with his speed and bend, he's going to be a productive pass rusher in the NFL. I truly believe that. I think he's a very polished guy already, but I think he's going to have to get in the gym. I think he's going to have to put on that weight that you put on, that 15 pounds of muscle that you put on between college and NFL, probably by his second year, I think you're going to see him really flashing. Dallas has got some pretty good pass rush, obviously, with Micah Parsons as well. He's a good guy for Donovan to learn from. Round three, it was an absolute steal for the Dallas Cowboys at pick 76. Shavon Revel Jr. out of East Carolina. If it wasn't for the ACL injury, he's the best man corner in this draft. Very, very athletic, shadow man corner. Was going to be a first-round draft pick, no doubt. Has great hands, has turnovers, can intercept the ball. He's going to fit right into that Dallas Cowboys. If he's healthy, that is an absolute steal. Very similar to what I felt with Benjamin Morrison falling to the Bucks. It was a very similar. Shavon Revel, with an injury, basically made him fall. And if he's going to be healthy, Dallas is in for a really amazing player. Their first three picks between Booker, who's going to be a starter, Donovan Owusu-Aroke, I think is probably going to start, get some carries, get some pass rush reps. Shavon Revel Jr. is the guy that's going to work himself into an average corner. I mean, obviously they have a Pro Bowl corner, but the rest of them are average. They have a good safety. We'll see. I think he's going to contribute right away. They didn't have a fourth-round draft pick, but in round five, Jadon Blue out of Texas, he's one of the fastest running backs in this draft. He's got extremely amazing short-area explosiveness. And then athletically testing at the combine, he was top five in just about every category for running backs. He's a little on the smaller side, but that's what he brings. That let's get him into some open field. Let's get the ball in his hands and see if he can't break one to the end zone with his long speed. You're not going to be able to catch him when he gets out in the open field. So it's going to be blocking. It's going to be scheme. It's going to be how they're going to work him the ball. But I think he's a very good – and round five at pick 149, I think that's a terrific pick. Round five for the Florida fans. Shamar James was a five-star recruit to Florida. He was a big-name linebacker, shows a lot of speed, has a lot of range, coverage ability. Just couldn't stay healthy. Was on and off the field at Florida. Pick round five, pick 152. I think he might get some snaps, but for right now, I think he's going to be a special teams contributor, backup linebacker. Round six, pick 204, Ajani Cornelius out of Oregon, offensive tackle. So again, a depth piece on the offensive line. Round seven, these are guys that are like borderline free agents, guys that might not make your team. Probably some special teams players here, but they're getting a look at the UCLA player, Jay Toya, defensive line, running back Phil Mafia out of Clemson in the seventh round, and Tommy Akinbesto out of Maryland. I actually don't know anything about that gentleman. It's hard to stump me on a player, but he was picked 247 at the very end of the draft. He's a guy I'm assuming is a depth piece, but to go defensive tackle twice in the seventh round with some run-stopping guys, and then they picked a late running back out of Clemson, was a part-time player at Clemson, to go along with Jadon Blue, who was a star at Texas. So if you look at the Dallas Cowboys draft overall, they fixed the Zach Martin's replacement. They got that in Tyler Booker. I think he's a day one starter. You just pop him in, plug and play guy. Donovan Owusu-Aroke out of Boston College is a guy that has a lot of pass rush in him. I think he's going to take some time to develop physically. Shavon Revel, I think, is a starting cornerback in the NFL when healthy. Jadon Blue is going to give them a nice mixture. I believe they signed Javonte Williams in the offseason. I think that Dallas is going to love him if he's healthy. He had a terrible knee injury and then injured the other knee, but not as severe. But I'm hoping that he comes back full speed for Dallas. He's a terrific player. But Jadon Blue gives him a little bit of a different feel with short area quickness and long speed. Round five through the other seven, a lot of special teams players. Shamar James, I think, is going to get some snaps possibly. But overall, I think Dallas filled some holes. I think they did a good job with what they were doing. I think overall they got good football players. The Giants, in round one, number three overall, they decided not to go the quarterback route, and they drafted Abdul Carter out of Penn State. He had 66 quarterback pressures, ranked second in the college football last year. That was his first year as a full-time rusher. He now joins a Giants defensive front that has Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns and Thibodeau, which was their first-round pick out of Oregon. Right now, their defense can't have all these guys on the field at the same time. I don't think you drafted Abdul Carter number three overall not to be on the field. So I think they're going to have to figure out a way between Thibodeau and Burns on the playing end. Is Abdul Carter going to go in as an off-the-ball linebacker? I'm not quite sure what they're going to do. We're probably going to have to get into training camp to see how they're going to use him. In round one, they traded back into the first round at pick 25 and got Jackson Dart, QB out of Mississippi. He was the highest-graded passer in college football last year for down-the-field accuracy at 91.9. So they got a guy that's got some athletic ability, throws the ball with accuracy down the field. For me, there's something about this guy that's just a little bit off. I watched him in the SEC, and I watched him melt down a couple of times that was really bad. He had a 6-interception game. I mean, there was just some really bad football, and then he comes back and he lights it up. Obviously, he was a postseason, you know, standout at like the combine, individual workouts. I mean, he really impressed coaches a lot, worked himself from a second-round draft pick, worked himself back into the first round. I'm interested to see the correlation between Jackson Dart's career with the Giants and Shedeur Sanders' career with the Browns, who was a fifth-round draft pick of the Browns. I'm interested to see because I like Shedeur Sanders a lot better as a quarterback. I like his accuracy. He was the most accurate quarterback in college football. I like the way he can throw the ball downfield. I like his intelligence. Jackson Dart's obviously way more athletic of a player, much more of a gunslinger, very similar to Brett Favre in that aspect where he forces a lot of balls. I think he's got some Jameis Winston in him too, which is kind of scary, where he has an arm talent that he thinks is going to be able to overcome some bad decision-making, just like Jameis does, and we'll see. I know that right now he struggled in mini camps. In the first rookie mini camp, he struggled greatly. Even on 7-on-7s, he was completing 3 and 4 passes without a defensive back on the field. So that's important that he dials that in. Like, again, as far as the Giant people asking me, well, what do you think about him? The jury's really out on this guy for me, just because I watch too much bad football. The quarterback has to be consistent day in and day out, game in and game out. And I thought Jackson was not consistent. But I think that he has the ability to absolutely light it up when he wants to. He does have a lot of upside. We'll see what the Giants can pull out of him. Listen, I'm not that confident that the Giants can develop quarterbacks. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, they have a veteran that's going to start in Russell Wilson this year. You know, they parted ways with Daniel Jones, their other first-round draft pick. And we'll see how they do with Dart. Round three was a guy that was linked to the Bucs, defensive tackle Darius Alexander out of Toledo. Very athletic defensive tackle, can bat down the ball, can even intercept the ball. I think he definitely brings a lot of upgrade to the 3-4 defense. He's got a lot of power to hold up against the run, but I believe that he's going to be a pass rusher. I really do. So if you think Darius Alexander, and then you pair him with Abdul Carter, and then you pair him with Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, and Thibodeau, I don't know how all these players get on the field, but if they're all on the field, that's an all-star team for the Giants. I mean, we're talking about Lawrence Taylor days where the Giants, where they were just loaded on defense. I mean, the Giants loaded up on defense. That's what they did. And they came back in the fourth round and got one of my absolute favorite players in the draft. If you guys listened to my running back breakdown, he was my third running back. I know it surprised everybody, but at pick number 105, Cam Scataboo out of Arizona State, I thought he was an incredible running back. I can't wait to see him in a Giants uniform in the preseason. I think he's going to dominate the preseason. He forced 103 missed tackles. That was second only to Gente, who obviously went in the first round. I think we went 9 overall. He has the physical makeup to be a three-down back. I am fascinated by this guy. He doesn't run fast. He doesn't jump high. He doesn't do anything, but his balance is incredible. When you try to tackle him, he has this thing where he puts his hand back down on the ground and holds himself up so his knees don't touch. He can stop and start, but then he can power through you. I love the fact that people just bounce off of him. He just bounces around like a pinball and then never goes down. It's a very unique skill, to be honest. And I think that Giants fans are in for a treat when you watch Cam Scataboo play. Round five, Marcus McBoe out of Purdue, offensive tackle. Don't know much about him. Thomas Fedone, the second out of Nebraska. He's a tight end. Again, that's a special teams player. Cornerback Corey Black out of Oklahoma State in round seven, pick 246 overall. He was a guy that had some hype and then had a down season last year for Oklahoma State. So maybe he can return to glory, or maybe he's going to be a guy that's just going to be there in the preseason and not stick on the roster. But if you look at the Giants overall with Abdul Carter, pairing them with what they have, they got a quarterback that they think is a quarterback of the future that can start, who can ease in after Russell Wilson starts this year. Darius Alexander, I think, is a very underrated defensive player out of Toledo. And then I got my favorite, one of my favorite running backs, one of my favorite players, period, in this draft, Cam Scataboo, in the fourth round, which I think is a steal. So congratulations to the Giants in their draft. Moving on to the Eagles. Now, obviously, I'm not an Eagles fan. You guys have heard me bash on the Eagles and bash on the Eagles. What we're going to do in this podcast is I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to look at what a good front office has done to continue to draft smart, intelligent, athletic football players and then ruin them by sending them to Philadelphia. So That's all I'm going to say. So round one, pick 31, Jahad Campbell out of Alabama was a guy that was linked to the Bucs. I actually accurately picked him in the mock draft at 31 to the Eagles. I did not believe the Bucs had even had him on their board. Here's a guy that has a lot of pass rush, can play the run, coming off of a shoulder injury that most people don't know how serious this labrum issue is. It's a pretty big issue in a very physical linebacker. You know, the shoulder is a big deal. My problem with Jahad Campbell is he took plays off for me when I watched him on film at Alabama, where he let other players, and it could be that he was trying to save himself because he knew he was going high in the draft. It could be that the shoulder injury was bothering him earlier in the season than people thought. I don't know what the real story is with him, but at pick 31, he's a steal. The Eagles have done this now 3 years in a row where they've drafted players in the bottom of the first round that are absolute starters in the NFL. Round two, number 64, they got one of my absolute favorite safeties, Andrew Mukuba out of Texas. This guy is an unbelievable player. He's going to be a terrific replacement for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's athletic. He plays angry. He plays under like a very focused violence. He can catch the ball. He can play the run. Man, he's a good player. So I actually like him better than Jahad Campbell, although I do like Jahad Campbell. I'm just saying there's something about this Texas kid that's just phenomenal. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts for the Eagles and becomes a superstar. Ty Robinson, unbelievable draft pick in the fourth round. The Eagles do it again. 111, they pick 111. This defensive tackle out of Nebraska shows great promise as a pass rusher. I think he's got a huge upside. I think he's going to put on weight in the NFL locker room. I think he's going to be an amazing addition to that defensive line. The Eagles' defensive line dominated the Kansas City Chiefs, right? We all know that. It dominated from snap one. And what did the Eagles do? They come right back and draft another up-and-coming, huge upside defensive tackle in Ty Robinson. That is an amazing pick at round four. That guy is a second-round draft pick all day, twice on Sunday. How he fell, I don't know. But again, the Eagles just benefit from these guys falling. In round five, Mac McWilliams out of UCF, a very underrated guy. If you watch local football, what like I do, I love college football, but I especially like guys in our backyard. This guy can play. It was a very nice depth piece in round five. The other round five draft pick is a linebacker, Smile Mondon Jr. out of Georgia. Here's a guy that Mondon Jr. is a guy that can really turn it up and become an impact player. If he can physically get around some of his limitations, this guy can play inside a scheme, and he brings five-star recruit to another five-star recruit to the Eagles out of Georgia. They love these Georgia players. Center Drew Kendall out of Boston College, technically sound center. He's going to be a backup right away. He's going to make the team. Write that down. The guy's a technician. Boston College is a great place to draft offensive linemen. I'm telling you, they're extremely well-coached, like Iowa, Iowa State, Boston College, Minnesota. I'm all about offensive linemen from those schools. Round six, a very underrated QB, Kyle McCord, a former Ohio State player who transferred to Syracuse and broke all Syracuse records, set the single-season record for quarterback play last year for Syracuse all-time. Kyle McCord is an absolute gunslinger. The guy can throw the ball all over the field. He can make all of the throws. Not a fan of him athletically. He doesn't run the ball, which is like this modern NFL where everybody has to run the ball. I don't understand it. He's a pocket passer. The guy can absolutely tear you apart if you're not careful. And he gets hot. So he's hot and cold. But when he's hot, he's really, really, really good. Kyle McCord makes that team. even the sixth round. Offensive tackle Miles Hinton out of Michigan, another depth piece. Cameron Williams out of Texas. Offensive tackle. This is such a great pick. Pick at 207. Kenyon Green was a guy that had a 41.9 Pro Football Focus grade last year, and Tyler Steen 42.1, and they are both having, you know, struggles on the Eagles offensive line. If they move Cameron Williams to the inside, I think Cameron Williams takes over the starting spot. That's how physically gifted he is, moving him from tackle to guard, moving him to the inside. He has the ability to start for the Eagles. Just keep an eye on Cameron Williams. Keep an eye on him. He's physically gifted. I don't like him at tackle, but moving him inside, I think he predicts to be a long-term NFL player. The other round six is Antoine Powell-Ryland, the pass rusher out of Virginia Tech. He's very scheme-specific because he's 6'2", 240. He's got speed, power, and the guy can stand up in a 3-4 outside linebacker role where he can actually rush the passer and play the run. This guy's underrated. I know that we talk about size all the time, and for the NFL, size matters. I mean, it's a big deal. All they do is measure these guys at the combine. They measure them and measure them and measure them and measure them. It drives me crazy because sometimes you can just see their football players. Like, just overlook the size and the weight of this guy. Just overlook it. Just watch Ryland on film, and you're like, okay, this guy translates speed to power so fast. Tackles, bigger tackles, can't get their hands on him. You know, he can rush the passer. He can absolutely blow runs up behind the line of scrimmage. Unbelievable player. They got him at pick 209. So let's go over the Eagles again. Jahad Campbell, a terrific player if his shoulder's healthy. Mukumba out of Texas is a starting safety. I think he's one of the best players in the draft. I absolutely loved him. I think he replaced the C.J. Gardner. Ty Robinson, very underrated defensive tackle in round four. I think he's got huge upside. Mac McWilliams, a depth piece out of UCF at corner. Mondon Jr., the linebacker out of Georgia. Another Georgia guy that I think has an opportunity to make this team. Center Drew Kendall makes the team out of Boston College. Technician. I mean, when you watch him play, is he Graham Barton physically? Absolutely not. But mentally, he's very gifted. Technique-wise, very gifted. So he just needs to, I hope that he's able to get some strength, but which obviously from the conversion between college and NFL, he needs an NFL body. Kyle McCord, gunslinger out of Syracuse. What a great pick at pick number six, in the round six, pick 181. Miles Hinton is a depth piece, maybe a guard, and Cameron Williams out of Texas, round six, pick number 207. He might start for the Eagles. I'm telling you, keep an eye on him. And then, of course, Powell-Ryland out of Virginia Tech. They took a chance in the sixth round on a smaller pass rusher who has production in college. What a draft for the Eagles. I mean, another one where they just added football player after football player after football player. I don't see a lot of guessing. I mean, I see a lot of production in college. I see a lot of production in high school. They have a draft style. Right, their draft style is not to draft on potential. They are going after guys that have accomplished something in big time programs. So I'm going to say this once. Congratulations, Eagles, to a great draft. Washington Commanders, the team formerly known as the Redskins, pick number one, their first round draft pick at number 29 overall, Josh Conley Jr. out of Oregon. I think because they traded for Laramie Tinsel in the offseason, he's probably going to start, but they can actually ease Connerly Jr. in. I think he might be a guard his rookie year and then move back out to tackle depending on what happens next year. But I think he has a lot of depth for them at tackle and inside. Round two, pick 61, Trey Amos, a guy that was linked to the Bucs as a corner. This was one of Todd Bowles' favorite players in the draft from the corner position. You guys can look that up. He's a very technically sound corner, brings speed, catch the ball, can create turnovers. And round two is a terrific pick for Washington. Round four, Jalen Lane, the wide receiver out of Virginia Tech. I talked about him at length in the wide receiver breakdown. I think he's a very good player. I think with the wide receiver depth, not the top end, but the overall depth of wide receiver dropped him to round four. Round six, pick 205, linebacker Kane Medrano out of UCLA. He's built more like a strong safety than a linebacker, but he was an elite athlete at the combine. He runs a 4-4 at the linebacker position. Round six, he's worth taking a look at to see if he can make the team. Round seven, pick 245, running back Jacory Crosby-Merritt out of Arizona, basically a special teams player. So getting back to Washington, who didn't have a lot of picks, they did well, I think, at pick 29 with Josh Connerly Jr. I think he gives them depth. Trey Amos is a starter for them. I think he starts his rookie year. I think Lane works his way into the rotation, but not right away. And I think Modrano is a guy that shows a lot of athletic talent, but I don't know if that's going to translate in the NFL, but we'll see. To me, that's more of a, in the round six, you have the chance to go, let me just draft an athletic guy and see if we can make him into something. That actually makes a lot of sense to me. Round seven was a special teams player. If you look at Washington overall, they added the least amount of starters to their team, but they didn't really have a lot going on. The Eagles had another Super Bowl draft. I mean, think about where the Eagles are drafting. They're drafting at pick number 31 and 64 and 111. And what a terrific job they've done. The Giants, I thought, picked one of my favorite players in Cam Scataboo. But between Alexander out of Toledo and Carter out of Penn State, they're really building a defense to go with Thibodeau and Brian Burns. The Dallas Cowboys did a terrific job filling some holes on their team between Booker replacing Zach Martin, getting a pass rusher in Izuguruku out of Boston College, getting a starting corner in Siobhan Revel as long as he's healthy, and possibly adding a change of pace running back in Jaden Blue out of Texas. So overall, the NFC East did a terrific job. I like a lot of these players, and I really hope you enjoyed the breakdown. It's the best 30 minutes in football. I really try to be very focused, so there's not a lot of interruptions in the flow of going over the players. Please visit me at Bill Curry Ford, at bestinclass at billcurryford.com with questions and comments. Leave me reviews on Apple Play. And then I have an amazing announcement. The Tampa Bay Sun has the soccer team has made the championship game for Tampa, and it's an amazing women's professional soccer team. So I'm very excited about what they bring to Tampa. And I think soccer is growing on me, to be honest. I didn't think it was going to be, but I see how hard these players are playing. And I really think, you know, I think it was something to be proud of. I think the fact that we could have a championship team in Tampa at a professional level, I think is a pretty awesome thing. So I hope they do well, and I hope the ladies win the championship and bring it home to Tampa. And I'll see you guys next time. Visit us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa. Follow us at all of the social media sites. You guys know I'm not going through them all. I'll see you guys next time.